Welcome to a very special edition of Insight for Living. If you missed any portion of Wednesday's program, let me urge you to go online to hear Chuck Swindoll's personal conversation with his daughter, Colleen Swindoll Thompson. In addition to a prolonged season of suffering and personal tragedy, one of Colleen's children, Jonathan, was born with a variety of special needs. Well, he's become a treasured member of the entire Swindoll family and a trophy of God's grace. The lessons Colleen has learned and the wisdom she's gleaned has become the basis for her ministry called Reframing.
Today's broadcast is a continuation of what we began earlier, and we have been talking about some of the ways God is using the ministry of reframing, which is a dimension of our outreach here at Insight for Living Ministries. 10 years ago, we began by calling it a special needs ministry. It has broadened into an even wider world that touches people in their lives, including special needs, but beyond that, which would have to do with those occasions in life when we are brought to an end of ourselves, we're unable to get beyond it, and we struggle, often feeling stuck in a place that's painful, confusing, and without answers. Our daughter, Colleen Swindoll Thompson, is the one who leads the Reframing Ministry. Colleen is with me again today. Welcome back, Colleen.
Thank you.
Yeah. Let's go back to our word reframe. We started with the R.
Yes.
So remind us of what that represents.
R is to reflect. Reflect on what brought us here. I found a study not long ago that 75% of the youths, Christian youths, are leaving the church or fall away from the faith after high school. Now, we can look at that one of two ways. We can look at that as, well, it's millennials. Well, it's younger generation. Well, they're this, they're that. You know, I get tired of people dumping on the younger generation. They're full of ideas. They're full of so many things that we need in this world. So the other way to look at it is, where are we missing the mark in teaching our youth about their faith on a deep level? So to reflect on what have I been taught? What have I believed? When you went to the seminary, what am I believing about this? What am I thinking? I'm thinking, I don't know what to do. I don't know who I'm going to be. Those are very real thoughts and very real emotions that involve your head, your heart, your habits. And as you released those, then you began to do the step two, the E, which is to examine. What is it about what I'm believing that is right and true and good and pure, as Paul writes in Philippians? Am I believing what is right, true, good, pure? Am I believing his word in a way that all things work together for good? Does that mean I'm happy, happy, happy all the time? No, it means that he's at work in ways that I don't know about, in ways I can't see, using people I don't know. And somehow we'll bring something together. Here's an example. One of my kids struggled with John's challenges more than another one.
Uh-huh.
I've prayed about that for so long. And now, 20 plus years later, there is a relationship between the two of them building I could have never imagined. I had nothing to do with it. God was at work building that, and I couldn't do it. So it's to examine. In fact, Oz Guinness says in his book, In Two Minds, The Dilemma of Doubt and How to Resolve It. Because we sometimes when we examine our faith, we get a little afraid of doubting. You know, oh, I'm going to doubt my faith. Well, examine it. Put it through the test. Oz Guinness writes, if ours is an examined faith, we should be unafraid to doubt. If doubt is eventually justified, we were believing what clearly was not worth believing. But if doubt is answered, our faith has grown more strong. It knows God more certainly, and it can enjoy God more deeply. I think we forget that some of the greatest people we follow as Christians, C.S. Lewis, Martin Luther, Mother Teresa, Charles Spurgeon, John Calvin, all struggled with doubt at times in their lives. They all struggled with it because faith is what we cannot see, and we don't know what he has planned. But if we live in the future, we live in fear. If we live in the past, we live in regret. So we need to live in today and examine our faith.
Okay. So we have reflect, examine.
Then we have find support.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. We don't go this all on our own, do we?
No, we can't. None of us can.
We simply cannot make it on our own. And we have some close friends who always step up, and they do it voluntarily, and they do it consistently. And they help us when one of us gets sick. They help us when they sense one of us is discouraged.
Yes, and that's a prayerful thing because sometimes that's hard to find within the church because we're talking about hard issues.
Well, it may not be within the church.
It may not be within the church.
Maybe that's a neighbor.
That's exactly right.
Yeah.
In fact, I'm thinking on mom's back surgery.
Yes.
Very early one Sunday morning, you were getting ready to take off. Jonathan and I had gotten there at about 6:20, and it was pouring down rain.
Yeah.
She was in so much pain, and you said, Colleen, this changes our lives in every way. We would never make it without the help of our church family.
Yeah.
That's the kind of support. And people who understand those who are in crises, because it affects us emotionally. It affects us neurologically. We forget things.
Right.
We have headaches. We have a loss of appetite.
Right.
Crisis interrupts our sleep. It interrupts everything about what we've called normal. So we need others to say, I'm going to put your keys right here, and this is where they're going to stay, so just so you know where they are. Or show up and mow a lawn. Just show up. You don't have to know everything about whatever the problem is. Just showing up.
Yeah.
That's finding the kind of support that we need.
Yeah. Okay, so we've got find support.
Yes, and the R is as we are building in this process. And by the way, it's not a step-by-step formula. See, I hate the formulas.
Yeah, I know you do.
Probably because I tried them all and they don't work.
Right. And it's not necessarily in this order.
No.
You may start with support.
Right. You may say, in fact, a mentor may say, you know, I've noticed this quality in you. And it's not attractive. Or it's holding you back. So you have to then renew your commitment. What do I value? What do I want to honor in my life? What kind of legacy do I want to leave? And the important part of identifying and renewing the commitments that we have to friends, to family, to the Lord, to our communities, to our neighbors, to the underprivileged, to the minorities. He doesn't, you know, it's not we value those who are fine.
So the R is renewing?
Renewing.
Okay.
Renew commitments. And we need to write them down and speak them out loud morning and evening. And the reason for that is because change requires that we rewire our brain neurologically. Science has come so far in understanding more about the brain. So when we have commitments, I'm committed to walking courageously through this season, trusting Christ, even though I don't know what today holds. That would be a renewing commitment statement.
I got it. How about just renewing a commitment with your spouse? That, to me, is easily left aside.
Yes.
We're so busy with others or dealing with the issues that we forget there's one who is linked to us that needs that touch as well.
A year and a half or 2 years ago, I was very convicted because I was writing on something about Ashley, and I realized I had not taken time to go see her. And I did not feel like I could write what I was writing authentically.
And she was in college?
She was in college down at A&M. And so I told Tobin, I'm not going to write this until I go see her. He goes, take off tomorrow. And I went and saw her and made a commitment to be more present in her life, which requires time and it requires energy, but it is a commitment that I've made. And I think renewing commitments to our families as we're changing is vital because they've known us one way, maybe very bitter, hostile, angry.
Yep.
I'm choosing to be kind because that is right.
Let me give you a great verse that is easily overlooked. Mark 3:14. He ordained 12 that they might be with him and that he might send them forth to preach. Mm. I learned this from Kent Tucker, our longtime friend.
Yep.
He said, notice the order first that they might be with him. And then that he might send them out to preach. I think you're on to something great here. The others are great as well, but this one, you're pulling up close, and this renewal that takes place, it does take time. Let me add, you mentioned it. It takes presence.
Mm-hmm.
You can't necessarily do it on a phone call or an email or a text. There's something about a face-to-face, the holding of a hand, an arm around a shoulder, the sound of a voice that is so biblical. You know, those disciples, that's why they grieved when he said, I'm leaving you, but I'm going to send the Holy Spirit. They didn't even hear the Holy Spirit part.
Their best
All
friend.
They heard was, I'm leaving you.
Yeah.
And they couldn't imagine life without being with him because that had meant so much to them.
One of the things this has done in my own life is because Christ calls us to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, strength, to put him first. I think we have to renew that commitment to Christ often.
We're talking with Colleen, our daughter, who leads our reframing ministry here at Insight for Living. And we're spelling out the word reframe, which is why, if you've just tuned in, we're in the middle of a letter that may sound strange. We're going through R-E-F-R-A-M-E, and we've come now to the A.
Yep. We've covered R is to reflect, E is to examine, F is to find support, the next R is to renew our commitments, and then A, affirm the positive. There are thinkers who are writing on mindset these days. Carol
Yes.
DeWick has written one great book, and she calls it post-traumatic growth. She's reframed trauma as let's work through the trauma, but let's identify the growth that comes from that.
Oh, that's good.
Now, what starts happening as we are walking through the mess of whatever it is, a diagnosis or a loss or grief, we are growing character traits like resiliency, commitment, courage, honesty, authenticity, humility. Those things start to emerge because God's at work, and that's what he's doing in transforming us. So affirm the positive things. So, like with John, thanks for doing the dishes. That means he remembered to do his chores.
Yeah.
And he is honoring our family by following through with that. So affirm the positive, much like your teacher who worked with you in stuttering.
Oh. When I got into senior high school, I thought, I don't want anybody to ever even notice me.
Mm.
He walked up to me and he said, I want you on my speech team and I want you in my drama group. I thought he was talking to the guy next to me. Honestly, I really did. And he said, no, I'm talking to you. You've got it. And I thought, yeah, I've got it, but what I've got, you don't want. He cultivated in me the ability to speak.
You learned to believe in yourself because of what he put into you.
Yeah.
Then we move on to manage.
What a great guy he was.
Manage adjustments. That's the M. Because
Manage adjustments.
As we create a new normal.
Yep.
Figure out a way to get out the door with now a kid who will require help getting dressed and feeding and will be and requires being driven everywhere.
Yeah.
That's a new normal. Yeah. We're in a new normal when both Ashley and Austin moved out the same weekend, and Jonathan, it devastated him for a year and a half.
Yeah.
So we have to manage adjustments. We often fret over things. We worry. Mm-mm. You can get through this. Let's just adjust a little. And like the doctors do when they test your eyes.
Yes.
Is it this one or this one?
Yes.
Is it this one or this one?
Right.
And not be afraid to fail.
Right.
Where have you, I'm going to ask you this question now. What adjustment has been hard for you to manage and accept?
I believe that one of my most difficult adjustments has been to live with areas of my life that were less than I had wished they would have been. I wish I had been a better father. As I look back, I was too busy when I got involved in publishing books and all that went with that, all the travel, all the book signings, and all the meetings, and sort of left some of you kids. And as I look back, I wish I had not done that. You were there when your mom and I asked all four of you adult kids to meet with us. And we had a real good friend who guided us into that idea and sat silently beside us as we went through a litany of things where we had failed. And we asked for your forgiveness. We didn't expect you at that moment to say a word. In fact, I remember setting it up by saying, you don't have to respond to a thing. Now, whether they forgave us, it's their move. But in all sincerity, we named specifically the areas that needed to be addressed.
And I add, you welcomed us to follow up.
Absolutely.
With, are there any other things that need to be forgiven?
Yes.
And I will tell you to this day, that weekend passed, forgiveness was given, and I don't even recall now the discussion in detail because that's forgiveness.
Well, let me remind you of something or tell you something you wouldn't know. We threw the lists away.
I did too.
Why would you keep a list that's now forgiven?
And
it's like keeping a list of your sins. He, as far as the east is from the west, removes our transgressions from us. And I thought, Lord, you've heard every word. You know they were spoken in authentic honesty. Relieve us now of this, of the shame and the guilt that has plagued us. And he did. He did.
That's because you have given it to him. And,
yep.
And because of that modeling, I have sat down with my own kids and done that exact same thing. And I've said, unless you tell me, I can't know. And before I leave seeing Ashley and Mickey, is there anything undone?
Right.
Is there anything you need to say? We keep that line of communication
that's
clear.
That's great.
Because that's a value. That's a commitment that we have.
Let me jump in here before you give the last letter. And add, no one would list these things we've talked about in these last few minutes as a part of great training for ministry. There's no course at a seminary that teaches this. I know. I've been through the curriculum. There's no course in the graduate program. This comes from the heart. And it's when you have done this kind of thing, you can open a floor up for question and answer with no fear.
Yeah, you asked me the most exciting part of my job. I don't think of this as a job, first of all.
Right.
The most exciting thing is to connect with others.
Yes.
And listen, maybe for the first time that they've ever not been judged for something they've said.
Yeah.
And then to speak hope into that life.
It's great.
Because of the hope that I've been given.
That's fabulous.
Through his comfort and by stepping into the unknown. We can't know that unless We choose to trust and walk out on what looks like an invisible bridge.
So we've managed, and now what's the last E?
Well, this is the funnest one, because as God changes us through the process and we discover pieces of ourselves that we didn't even know existed before, we explore different opportunities and passions. So I take you back 20 years ago when Jonathan was born, and then 3 years after that, his diagnosis, my world came crumbling down.
Right.
I would never, ever, ever be here or have a passion for integrating individuals with disabilities into our communities unless the Lord had brought him into my life. Mm. Ever.
So what's the E?
E is explore your opportunities. Huh. What is possible? What is possible as the Lord has brought me to certain people I didn't know before?
Yeah, that's great.
What opportunities are here? So I write the mayor of our city and say, how can we integrate these individuals in our community? I mean, I don't know, but I'm going to explore it.
Uh-huh.
And you find there's a passion and a ministry. And then the best part of it is, it's not mine. It's the Lord's.
Right.
Because he did the work all the way through.
And this is a great calling.
It is.
I mean, you never would have dreamed.
Ever. Ever.
Way back when. And here we are, watching it fulfilled. And or I'm seeing it unfold.
Seeing
it's not fulfilled. It's unfolding.
Seeing it unfold is... Yep. Is the exciting part.
Okay, quick now. How could a person connect with you who hears this and says, oh, man, I had no idea this was available. How can they connect with Insight for Living and with you?
Okay, we are, this month, the webpage Reframing Ministries is being unfolded. And at that site, there are resources that we mentioned to help people with the process. We are building into the site more and more teaching things. The Reframing Ministries site will have all of that, as well as in the bookshop, the two books that have been written, When Life Isn't Fair, What I Didn't Learn in Sunday School, and Reframing Life, When Reframing. Life Goes Sideways. They can find it at the Reframing Ministries site. It's all there. The interviews, I have to encourage people to check out interviews because it speaks the language of those who have lost children, who have endured mental health issues. We've tackled suicide, phobias. We've tackled living forward and life commitments. I mean, there are so many statements from people that I am honored to be interviewing that help others move forward.
Yeah.
Because I haven't lost a child, but Greg Laurie and Marilyn Meeberg have lost children.
Yeah.
They can speak into that life better than I can. So that's also on this site. And we have one long interview, and then we have them. Living Bridge does an incredible job breaking them into segments. So maybe one part will be what you need to watch. Pull it up on the phone, watch a 10-minute interview. I hope it encourages someone.
Very good. Just reach out. Don't wait.
Don't. Connect with Insight. Call.
Good.
Call us as well. I love connecting with people.
All right, Colleen, thanks so much for the time.
You're welcome.
I've learned a lot from you, not only in these last couple of days together, but throughout your life. Thank you for that. Lord, we're grateful for the way you speak to us. You do the best at this when you have us open your word and we find a statement you've made and you've preserved it down through the centuries and it jumps out at us as if it were written early this morning before dawn. Thank you for preserving your word and for keeping it relevant in touch with our world, our broken world. Heart-breaking world. Thank you for everyone who has listened today. Thank you for the opportunity to reach out and to demonstrate what Christ modeled so perfectly. He is the one who is touched with the feelings of our weaknesses. not impressed with our strengths, but touched with the feelings of our weaknesses. And we have them, they are too numerous to mention. Thank you for your forgiveness and always for your mercy and grace. Thank you for Jesus, who loved us and gave himself for us. In his name we pray. Amen.
You're listening to a special edition of Insight for Living. Today's discussion between Chuck Swindoll and his daughter Colleen is called Transformed by Grace, a candid conversation about reframing life. You can listen again by going to insightworld.org. And to receive the entire interview on CD, unedited for broadcast, just give us a call or find it online. It's yours when you include a donation of any amount to support the ministry of Insight for Living. Plus, we'll also include Colleen's book, Reframing Life, Focusing on God When Life Gets Sideways. Here's our contact information. Online, go to insight.org. Or if you're listening in the United States, call 1-800-772-8888. That phone number once more is 1-800-772-8888. Or go online to insight.org. Join us again Friday when Chuck Swindoll continues his study in the Gospel of John, right here on Insight for Living.
The preceding interview, Transformed by Grace, a candid conversation about reframing life, and the sound recording were copyrighted in 2018 by Charles R. Swindoll, Inc. All rights are reserved worldwide. Duplication of copyrighted material for commercial use is strictly prohibited.